Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, January 24th. Crazy to think about. We are, a week away from February already, but I'm here for it, man. I can't do this snow anymore. This is Menace in the Morning, but more at lunch, because apparently we do two-hour delays when we should cancel school. So I was doing all kinds of kid things this morning, making breakfast, getting kids dressed, showered, all of that. It's crazy, Chris, because Twitter told me that I lost custody of my kids, but these kids keep showing up at my house and I don't know who to call. Do I call the courts and be like, hey, I'm not supposed to have these kids,
right?
And they keep coming here. I don't know what to do.
Just call Twitter.
I'm gonna call the courts and be like, hey, Twitter keeps telling me that you guys are not supposed to let these kids come to my house. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, they were just here for five straight days. Like, I don't know who to call. I don't know what to do. But had a great weekend, unbelievable weekend of NFL football. That had to be the best playoff, semifinals, conference semifinals in the history of the game. I mean, every single game ended on the last play.
Yeah, four walk-offs.
And that game last night, we'll talk about it in a minute, but wow. Unbelievable. But before we get going, I want to mention our partner, MyBookie. Obviously, as we get into the conference championships and the Super Bowl, they have all kinds of ways you can bet it. Props, first team to score, first player to score, anytime scorer, like all the fun stuff. And I don't know if you guys like it, but I love to throw $10 or $20 on a player to score the first touchdown with like crazy odds, because you never know. So it's fun to do. If you go to MyBookie, sign up, get a promo code Menace, you get a deposit match. I am going to give you my parlay for today. It's a +200 parlay. So double your money up. I'm taking the Avalanche over the awful, awful Chicago Blackhawks. And then I'm taking the Blues to upset the Flames on the road. I think those two things happen. It's a +200 payout. So ride that with me on MyBookie. Go sign up right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Menace to get that free money and support the show as we make some money gambling. That's the plan. But we had some stuff happen, Chris, and this is becoming a fucking staple, a mainstay in my life, is people just want to cancel Menace to Sports. They want to cancel us, or not cancel us, but like they want to mute us and block us, and they go after us. And it's like, I don't get it. And I was thinking about it, and I kind of last night as I'm watching the end of that game, after the game, just kind of writing out what all we should talk about today. And I started thinking about all the people. I mean, from Pat McAfee blocking me, the Cover 4 podcast is what I'm calling it. Both of those I've never even interacted with, never even mentioned, never talked about. I knew who Pat McAfee was. I love his show. So this is not even about like, he sucks, we're great. But the Cover 4 podcast, I've heard of it because you told me about it, but I've never listened to it. I know nothing about it. When I looked it up, I know who Danny Cannell is. Other than that, I don't know who any of those other swinging dicks are. It's just, and then Clay Travis just unresponsive unless he needs something. He won't fuck with us. Barstool has a problem with us. Local radio in Columbus has a problem with it. Everybody's got a problem with this show.
And college football nerds called us just some guy.
College football nerds, just some guys. Like, I have more football knowledge in my pinky than both the college football nerds combined, but we are just some guys. But honestly, when the mainstream media does not want this to go, and I guess it's because they believe the hype or the stories about me, but you, in my mind, you know you're doing something revolutionary and something right when this starts to happen. ESPN will not even touch anything we do. Name one. Fox Sports is the only one that doesn't, and I have friends at Fox Sports. They certainly haven't reached out to put us on their network, but they've never really done anything negative to my knowledge or blocked us or done anything. But it's crazy to think about, because this Cover 4 podcast, I just kind of early this morning before obviously a two-hour delay, I could sit here and get some work done before I had to wake my kids up. I'm looking through the guys that are on it. It's a bunch of fucking sports writers and Danny Cannell.
Right.
Like, miss me with that bullshit. Like, what do you, what I, and I'm curious, like, you don't have to do it publicly. Shoot us a DM. Like, what do you get out of that podcast? And I've never listened, Chris. You know.
So when you and I started doing this, one of the things that, you know, that I'm obsessed with is like media. Cause I grew up in the media world, you know, from radio to talk radio to, you know, newspapers. I mean, shit, I got my first start, you know, with binoculars taking stats for high school football. So like, I've been around this kind of thing. And so I, when we decided to do this every day, the one thing I did was like, let me identify kind of the shows that are successful and our rivals. And one of them was the Cover 3 podcast, which I used to enjoy previously. But, you know, after Simmons left, they went through some changes. But it used to be about football knowledge, and they kind of struck out so far, and they were like really boring. So then they kind of focused it to more like betting, and they have like these weird betting battles. And a Chip is sometimes funny. I don't know, Zach. I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna watch it today because I will give my opinion on the show after I watch it. I'm not just gonna be some scorned dude who's like, oh, they blocked me, so they suck. Like, it might be decent, but I'm looking at who's telling you shit. Like, Chip Patterson couldn't have played football a day in his life. Tom Fornelli, no chance. If he did, he was a guard that maybe played some in high school. He definitely didn't play tackle or anything where you had to be a halfway decent athlete. And then his fucking Bud Elliott guy, he's just a sports writer, a Florida State guy. And I guess that's how they got linked up, right? Danny Cannell played at Florida State. Yep. Bud Elliott was like the pencil pusher for Florida State.
And then he went on to Bama for law school or something. And he was a lawyer for a sec and then kind of bounced around. I don't know.
Which, entertainment is entertainment. Like I said, I'm not trying to knock their show because it might be great. But I know we've received a lot of feedback that ever since Bart Simmons left, it turned to dog shit. And it is what it is. It's a CBS Sports Network affiliate podcast that gets a ton of clicks. Not a ton of clicks. I mean, shoot, we're right there neck and neck with them every week with no network affiliate. Nothing.
And our Twitter has 100,000 less followers, but it's way more jumping thanks to you guys. You guys are incredible.
Hell yeah. The views and everything on videos is unbelievable. But what started this all? Bud Elliott tweeted, without the transfer portal, is Joe Burrow even in the NFL? How many stud talents over the years before transfers were common, especially at QB, went to go sell insurance because they didn't get picked to be the starter? It's like, wait a minute.
There's so much wrong with this.
So much wrong with it. And I think my biggest problem with it, and you know, a window into a man's soul, is it was clearly a horrific take. And we can go a number of different angles as to why. One, Joe Burrow didn't enter the transfer portal. Yeah.
The answer to without the transfer portal, Joe Burrow is exactly where he is now.
Right. Because one, there wasn't a transfer portal. Two, it was a grad transfer. He graduated. Mm-hmm. You've always been able to do that. That's not new.
Russell Wilson.
That elite talent 20 years ago that's selling insurance could have done this. So that's fucking number one that you're an idiot. And then how many stud talents over the years? If Joe Burrow stayed, honestly, what probably would have happened was he would have taken over in 2019 and Justin Fields would have never came. And we don't know. It's impossible to speculate, but he probably would have been in the NFL. Would he have been the number one overall pick? Would he have been as good? You know, it's impossible to project or go back and rewrite history and say, but this take is awful. Mm-hmm. And Twitter blew up about how bad of a take it was. And then he doubled down and was like, people are freaking out about this tweet when the point of this tweet was to garnish attention. It was for clicks. And it worked like a charm. It's like, bro, you just gave away any credibility for clicks then. All you said was, I'm going to say shit just for clicks, and I'm full of shit, and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And I promise you, Bud Elliott couldn't tell you one single thing about Joe Burrow's game other than what he reads on a stat sheet or what someone on ESPN says. He has no football knowledge to break something down and give you something of value. And so that's my question. Is there anything of value on the Cover 4 podcast, or is it just entertainment? Either way, I mean, like I said, I'm going to watch it, but either way, let's call a spade, right? We shouldn't be listening to him talk about anything then other than just put it on and get entertained, right? It's like watching the circus. It's like, yeah, you don't get anything of value, but it's fun to watch the elephant stand on that little fucking platform. Like, that's what it is. So I'm curious. Shoot us a DM. Let us know what is the value of the Cover 4 podcast.
The best person on the Cover 4 podcast is Tom Fornelli. Just so you know, when you watch, you'll be like, okay, that's the best guy. And it's crazy because he's not really the face of it. He doesn't talk the most, but when he talks, it is the only one that I think is really, really worth listening. And Bud Elliott said, you know, he basically, yeah, he admitted to the whole clickbait thing, and he said people are only mad because I made my point effectively. And it's like, no, you didn't.
It's a
bad point. It's foolish, and you can't. It just, the whole thing goes away when you say, where would Joe Burrow be without the transfer portal? The whole thing goes away.
Well, you prove that you don't know what you're talking about, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So we are bringing back on YouTube our dumbass sports media personality of the week. Once a week, we will put on a clip of something like that. Someone saying something like that and just absolutely obliterate them into outer space because apparently that's what we are. We are the villains of sports media. Welcome to Menace to Sports. That's what we are. And honestly, the show name fits the narrative, I guess. So that wasn't by accident, by the way, Chris, but we can move on. We don't need to talk about the Cover 4 podcast any longer. What a weekend of college football. First, the Bengals take down Vrabel and the Titans, the one seed. And I try to tell people back when Joe Burrow won his Heisman Trophy year before he ever went to the NFL, Joe Burrow rewrote the quarterback position when he played in college, and he's doing it now in the NFL because of one thing. Defensive coordinators can do nothing to stop him. They have to stop the receivers, stop the run game. You know, they have to defeat the protection because there's no defensive scheme you can do to slow him down or stop him, right? You play base defense, he is going to absolutely torch you. And the problem is when you blitz him, he's better. He's
right.
More QBR, lethal. Yeah, against the Titans, he was when they blitzed, he was 10 for 10, 192 yards, and a 118 passer rating. So, like, what else do you do? You can't sit back. You can't sit back in base defense. He'll torch you. You can't blitz him because he tortures you even more. You can only hope to outscore them and maybe make Ja'Marr Chase fumble. Or, you know, that's honestly the game plan. Joe Burrow's going to get his. You have to make other people make mistakes, and you have to light up that defense.
It's so interesting because when people watch like NFL Network and like ESPN and all that, it feels like all of the analysts fall back on one thing to stop a quarterback. They always say, well, you know, if you make him uncomfortable, you know, if you blitz him, if you can move him from his spot, you'll see some results. And so I'm expecting to hear that same thing from all the pundits. And then I'm going to clip them all up and cut them up and then provide why that's wrong. That's kind of been something that media just falls back on. But like you said, he gets better against the blitz. And I'm looking ahead to Kansas City, Zach, and Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, his bread and butter is blitz as much as possible because they don't really have the talent on the back end. So they kind of need that, you know, boom or bust style of defense. He's been like that for a long time. I mean, he was the DC for the Giants, you know, going back some years too. And that was kind of his thing. All he wants to do is blitz. It's going to get interesting.
And we'll get to their game in a minute, but having Tyrann Mathieu out, hopefully for the Chiefs, Tyrann Mathieu's back for this game because they need every great player they can have to slow down Joe Burrow in this offense. But the other side of the ball, we had a squeaky mouse on the defensive side of the ball, guy who really has not lived up to his hype as a first round draft pick, hasn't really done anything in the NFL. He made a big time play, broke up a pass that led to an interception. That was how the Bengals got the ball down in close to the red zone, got it towards the red zone and kicked the field goal to win. It was Buckeye's very own Eli Apple. And he started popping off when the Pro Football Hall of Fame tweeted out that Julio Jones passed a milestone, right? He's the fifth player ever to record 50 receiving yards in 9 consecutive postseason games. Julio Jones will be in the Hall of Fame. Eli Apple will not. Let's start there. But he tweeted, where was he at on the last play of the game? 3rd and 5, season on the line. That man was hiding. Like, interesting take for Eli Apple to go after Julio Jones, who's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, on the Hall of Fame post. It's like extra disrespectful.
Yeah, like, the Titans put it out. It was the Hall of Fame put it out because Julio Jones is going to go there. He's going to have a head in the Hall of Fame forever.
And their job is stat trackers and like posting them out. That's what that Twitter is there for. That's the only reason it's there. And Eli said, you know what? Fuck that. Let's go.
Well, the fan base has just absolutely went off, right? First, they were screenshotting Devontae Smith's tweet back in on December 23rd, his Christmas present to Eli. He said, every time I see Eli Apple one-on-one, I shake my head. And then people were, roasting this man. One dude said, Eli's mom got on his Twitter again.
Oh, shit.
Another dude said, bruh, you are CB 102. Then another one said, bruh, you are a former 10th overall pick and on your fourth team in 5 years. And this girl, this one lady said, boy, you had your mom on this bird app arguing with people like you're not a grown ass man. Fuck out of here.
I love Eli Apple. I love the entertainment factor.
Oh, it's he's awesome. Always entertaining. Fox, bro, Fox 8 New Orleans, like the actual news station, quote tweeted him and said, yeah, we're still trying to figure out how to replace your impactful two interceptions in 25 games played down here. This one girl, the Saints fan, said, boy, you couldn't cover a bed with a fitted sheet and want to speak on the Saints. Just killed him. And then he doubled down.
He said,
I wonder which fan base hates me. What fan base hates me more? And then he said, I hate New Orleans the most. And then he tweeted, New Orleans is the dirtiest, smelliest city and has the worst food ever. It's that swine and crawfish that's killing y'all brains.
Jeez. Like,
he is going in. I mean, he's doubling down. He's got his hot takes. Mm-hmm. And he had the audacity to be disrespectful to me and call me Zachary. Like, I don't have the fucking one-on-one cut-ups of Michael Thomas abusing his ass every single time. In Eli's last year at Ohio State, he never won a single one-on-one rep. Not one. Michael Thomas beat him every single time. I'm serious. He was 35-0 that last year. Eli Apple won zero reps. And when he got drafted number 10 overall, I was like, wow, somebody got fucking bamboozled.
Run amok. Yeah.
Eli's not a bad player, but number 10 overall. That's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. But yeah, so Eli's, I guess, revamping his career and getting ready to be the villain of NFL Twitter.
Wait, Zach, pause. You said 35-0, Michael Thomas.
35-0.
What was the – so was that same deal? Like, Michael Thomas got the line if he was against Eli. It was like, oh, man, here we go again.
So the good thing is Eli was the best corner that year, right? So they went against each other in everything they did, which is kind of iron sharpens iron, right? It was – so Eli – Mike was is a great player. And so you would expect a 10th overall corner to at least, I don't know, one-on-ones is – it's not entirely fair, right? There's no pass rush. It's not real football. But it's still you cover him. And let's see how that goes, right? If they're playing defensive football, like if you go to 7-on-7 or you go to team versus defense, there was times Eli covered Mike, maybe. I mean, I don't remember him, but I'm giving him a benefit of the doubt. So one-on-ones is definitely an offensive-friendly drill. I mean, the offense should win more than the defense because there's no other elements. The quarterback sits back there and has nothing to worry about except throw a good ball. But you'd expect them to win 30%.
Yeah, right? Well, a top 10 pick, Zach. That's top 10 pick. You want them to win something. Win one, win two.
Tell you this much.
35-0.
Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Thomas, when they used to go against each other, it was a dogfight. And Mike would win. Marshawn would win. It was back and forth, right? Yeah. Denzel Ward, back and forth, back and forth.
Garyon Eli Conley. Apple's,
and obviously Mike was younger, but Bradley Roby got Mike more than Mike got him. Mm-hmm. But Eli Apple just got scorched earth.
Yeah. Who do you think was a better corner, Garyon Conley or Eli Apple?
Who?
Garyon Conley or Eli Apple?
Garyon, for sure.
Okay. Well, Garyon was in the 20s, but there was some other stuff that happened with that, I think.
Yeah, it was all bullshit. It was that girl claiming that bullshit to try to get a payday.
Right.
But yeah, Eli's by far the worst first-round corner Ohio State's had in my time there. I mean, not even close. But so that was that game. And Eli got it off his chest. Now he's got to go face the Chiefs. I would love to see him cover Cheetah, Tyreek Hill. That would be a bloodbath. They won't let him do that, though. No
they
way.
Will not. Or, they will, not. Just they will not.
No, they'll just let the Chiefs go on to the Super Bowl if they do that. But I'm here for it. So let's see those Twitter fingers after this game against Mahomes. That'll be interesting. See a couple peace signs at him, right?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill threw up the peace sign when someone was in front of him.
Yeah.
What a psycho. That's insane.
He is gangster. He is badass.
That's crazy.
That dig he took, that was two. So listen, that dig he took to the crib was two man. Like the corner's playing trail inside leverage. The one route you should never complete is a dig route. Like everything else, a post, you're running away from him. Got a chance. A corner, great route to run. Outbreaking routes, great route to run. But a freaking dig, that's the route that it's designed to take away. Jeez. It's just nuts. And then the other thing that happened this weekend, who would have thought Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are sent packing? I mean, the Niners take down Rodgers, the Rams beat Tampa Tom in two unbelievable games. And we have right now, we have a legit Final Four. And the only one that has any experience is Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Right.
But that Bills Chiefs game. Wow.
Insane.
Insane. I saw a stat line. Patrick Mahomes, after the 2-minute warning, had 177 yards passing. After the 2-minute warning.
It's fucking Madden, dude. That's like that's video game numbers. That's absurd.
It's insane. If you look, I'll send it to you, Chris, because I should have sent it to you. But they had the the ESPN and all the sites, they have the game, who's going to win the game, the probability chart. Oh,
yeah,
the percentages. Chart.
Yeah, it was like 92% that the Bills were going to win.
And then the Chiefs were going to win. And then the Bills, it looks like a heart attack. Like it spikes up to 92, then drops to 92 in the other favor, then back to 92 in the Chiefs' favor. It was unbelievable. And obviously the storyline that everyone is livid about is the overtime rules. Absolutely absurd. And it blows my mind. So how you have both the NFL and college football have such a fucked up overtime format. Like you think about it, and this is one of our handicappers tweeted about it. The NFL overtime rule is the equivalent of a Major League Baseball game going to an extra inning. And if in the top of the 10th, they hit a home run, it's a walk-off, game over. There is no bottom of the 10th. Like that is the end of the game. And that's absurd.
That's super lame.
You think about it, basketball, hockey, baseball, every sport except football, they just play the game an extended period, right? Mm-hmm. They either add another quarter, add another inning, and they just play the game that duration. But football is just ridiculous. Like what is the evaluator of who should win the game? Well, the NFL says one side of the ball can win the game. The other side doesn't matter. That's what we saw in this game, right? The Chiefs scored a touchdown. It doesn't matter. Their defense could have been awful. They still win the game, right? The Bills offense and Josh Allen could have been outstanding, but doesn't matter. And he didn't get a fair shot. He didn't get a chance to, you know, answer. And that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, the and NCAA, he was on fire too. He was on fire.
And college football is worse, in my opinion, because now the only thing that matters in overtime to win a game is initially for two series, red zone offense and defense. Never mind your base offense and defense that is 70% of the game. That shit doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is how good are you in the red zone. And if you aren't good enough to beat the team in those two periods, then it becomes who's better at two-point plays? Like the better two-point play team deserves to win? It's just awful for the sport. And in my opinion, the NFL has the right model outside of the scoring scenario. They should just add an eight-minute quarter, an eight-minute overtime, and it's just like the fourth quarter. Play it out. Mm-hmm. And whoever wins at the end of that, the game's over. Right. And I know why. Here's why they do it. Right. Because football, unlike basketball, hockey and baseball, it's hard to play games that long. And you imagine a game going to two or three overtimes at 8 minutes a pop. I mean, but honestly, here's what they should do. They should add an 8 minute overtime. And if it's still tied after that, they should add 2 minute overtimes and just go back and forth. 2 minute offense. Right. Mm-hmm. Because that is at least full field offense, defense. It's slightly situational because it's a 2 minute offense. Right. Or maybe 3 minutes, whatever you want to make it, a shorter period. Cause you can't play 3 8-minute overtimes. You're adding 24 minutes of game time to a 60 minute game. That's crazy.
That's insane.
But the moral story is this is just awful. I mean, it's an awful depiction of the sport that you can Chiefs get the ball. Everyone knew whoever won the coin toss was winning the game.
Right.
I mean, the way those two teams finished the game, if the Bills got the ball first, Josh Allen was going to throw a touchdown pass and they were going to win. The Chiefs won the toss, and it was game over. You could turn it off. You knew it was going to happen.
Right. I don't mind the NFL OT rule in the regular season, but I think in the postseason, I think both – I mean, it's such a quarterback-driven league. I think both teams deserve that chance, which is why I kind of disagree with you. I think that the college model, while still painful and not great, is better than the NFL model because at least both quarterbacks get a chance, get a shot at something. That kind of like the inning thing, but – It was bad and it sucked because that was such a good game. You want to see Josh Allen kind of get that chance because he was absolutely balling. And the fact that he didn't get that chance is absolutely criminal considering the way that game was going.
Yeah, it is. And this is just for the fairness of the overtime format. Now, if you want to talk about blame in the game, I mean, they had a chance with, 16 seconds left or whatever to not let Mahomes get him in field goal range. And all they had to do was kick the ball inbounds and force them to take time off the clock and not give – they should have gave Mahomes as minimal time as possible. They also could have just stopped the Chiefs in overtime,
right?
So the Bills own as much of the loss as anything else. Mm-hmm. But
like,
when
it's not like the rules, they know the rules. So they got to make a stop.
And at the end of the day, make a stop. You had two chances, make a stop, and you didn't. So the onus is on the Bills, but the format is that doesn't change the fact the format is still screwed up.
Right.
It's still so screwed up. But it was it was an awesome weekend, and I can't wait for this next weekend. My girlfriend and I are going to be down in Sarasota. We're going to be watching the Bengals. I don't know if I can root for the Bengals. It's going to be a tough one. I really like Mahomes and the Chiefs, but part of me just wants Ohio to be represented, right?
Yeah. No, a lot of Buckeyes.
Where are you at? You're a Browns guy. Where are you at with the Bengals right now?
Well, first of all, I'm not a huge Browns guy because I struggle with dysfunctional franchises. But I got to watch Joe Burrow in high school. So because of that, I'm super biased and like super rooting. I'm rooting for Joe. So I could care less about the Browns. I'm rooting for Joe. But those Brown spaces that go on during these games, oh, absolute bloodbaths. Oh, they're such comedy, man. And they're talking about Jared Goff versus Baker Mayfield. It's just such comedy, man. I absolutely love it.
Well, I've always told people when they ask who's my NFL team, like I was born a Browns fan. My dad is from Cleveland, so I was raised a Browns fan. But once I got into college coaching, I never got to watch it. So all I cared about was the players I knew that went to the NFL so that I would root for them. Like I became a huge Saints fan when Michael Thomas went there, right? Yeah. When Devin Smith was on the Jets, I rooted for the Jets. Noah Brown's on the Cowboys. Like I just root for success of Ezekiel Elliott and Joe Burrow, obviously, and Terry McLaurin with the Redskins like that. That's what I root for is, you know, people that I have vested interest in that I care about. Yeah. I want them to do well and their team to win. So it's tough. I mean, I guess it's not going to be hard to root for the Bengals because of Joe Burrow. I'm also a huge Ja'Marr Chase fan. I have been, I had him as the best receiver in the draft. People told me I was nuts. Here we are. But so it's going to be fun to watch no matter what. And I hope
Joe. I do want to spring a question on you though. Cause who is the better receiver today? Ja'Marr Chase or Cooper Kupp?
Ooh. That's tough. Cooper Kupp is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, that's really tough. I would lean Ja'Marr Chase because he's younger, but best receiver today, probably Cooper Kupp. But if I had to take one right now on my team, I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, what is he in year two?
Yeah.
I mean, just dominant.
He's year one. This is a rookie, right? This is
a
rookie.
No, come on. A rookie doing what he's doing. I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase for my franchise, but I think Cooper Kupp's maybe a slightly better player just because he's got more veteran blood in him, right?
Right.
He's worked the NFL game longer. And just imagine Ja'Marr Chase 3 years from now, what that's going to look like. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah. No, I love Cooper Kupp. I think it's super interesting because I think Cooper Kupp is a prime example of why I don't listen to draft analysts because like they fall in love with, like the straight line speed, the combine warriors, everyone looks like Calvin Johnson type thing. And it's like, wait a second, this game is really about can you create separation in the intermediate space? Like, can you run a good route? Yeah. And can you process information while you're running routes? And so Cooper Kupp has done that extremely.
His gamesmanship is amazing. Like when I watch receivers play and who I don't even know the kid that had four touchdowns for the Chiefs. I never heard of him. But you watch that post route he had where he was wide ass open. Oh, you know what? No, that was the Bills kid. Mm-hmm. He ran a post and he made the corner fall down. He did a running triple, sold it hard with his eyes outside. The corner flipped his hips and then realized it was a post, tried to flip him back and fell down. Just the gamesmanship of running great routes is just fascinating to me. Knowing how to sell routes with body turn and with eyes and just getting deep, manipulating DBs. And Cooper Kupp is one of the best at it. Just being able to sell releases, sell top ends and break people off. He's just unbelievable. He has unbelievable football IQ and application when he's on the field. And Ja'Marr Chase has none of that yet. He's just freaky talented. When he gets that in his repertoire, oh my God, he is going to be nasty.
Yeah, so the way I classify him currently is I have Ja'Marr Chase just a pure gamer. Like when he's out there, it's baller. Insane. Now I have Cooper Kupp as a true technician, and he'll sell routes and he'll do a good job. And just he'll create separation in that intermediate space. And it's like, we kind of know where that ball is going, but somehow, some way, he's always open. And it's just, you know, we got to see a masterclass from him kind of this whole season, a masterclass of a receiver that, you know, may not be the fastest. I'm not going to say he's sneaky fast because he's white, but, you know, he's definitely not the fastest receiver. He's not the biggest receiver, but just a pure technician. And really, I like comparing JSN to him because JSN is not the fastest, but just like an absolute masterclass in terms of being like a technician in certain places. So masterclass in wide receiver play. So I loved it this week. I know you absolutely loved it this weekend. What else you got today, Zach?
No, that's all I got for you. I do want to mention because as this grows, we're seeing astronomical numbers. So if there's any business partners out there interested in sponsoring or at running advertising on this platform, I mean, we have exploded in 13 weeks since we started the morning show. We're over 200% growth, and that's with dropping off the main episodes last week. We had 85,000 downloads. And so you just podcasting is such an interesting space because it's more affordable than radio, TV, or print advertising with a far greater reach. And if you're interested in reaching 100,000 people in a week, you can reach out Zach at Menace to Sports or slide in the DMs at Menace to Sports. I mean, we're trying to fill the shows with ads, obviously to build revenue, to expand, to grow, to improve the studio, you know, get back to YouTube, improve that content, and just keep growing. So if you want to get insane value and be a part of the show, I know I did want to mention our one sponsor last week, really want trying to help them with their ad campaign, and that's Freeze Pipe. It's a badass product. It's like they have little glycerin chambers you put in the freezer and you put them in a bong or a pipe. And for any of you smokers out there, it cools the smoke 300 degrees before you smoke it so it doesn't burn. So check them out, freezepipe.com. Use our code Menace for 10% off and let us know. If you buy one, slide in our DM so we can tell people what you think of them. Like, are they sweet? Mm-hmm. Do they suck? I mean, everything I've read and everything I've heard, all the reviews said they're absolutely game changers. So check them out, Freeze Pipe, and reach out if you're interested. Chris and I were talking yesterday. We can really build anything. I mean, if you want to just, you know, sponsor a segment, sponsor a YouTube episode, sponsor one show and see how it does, just reach out, Zach at Menace to Sports, and help us grow the revenue so we can expand our company. That's what we're trying to do. And help us take down, help us be the menace, the villains of college football or sports media, really.
Yeah.
Help us grow and increase our villainhood. I don't know if that's a word, but we're gonna trademark it. So appreciate everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. I do have an episode coming out one day this week. Got to do the Defensive Menace Awards, and got some guests that have said they'd come on that are kind of, you know, hard to track down. So we'll get you a couple bonus episodes as we go this week and next week. But thank you for tuning in. We got Menace out.
Menace out.